We at Good Cop Bad Cop are devastated to deliver the news of the passing of Brody Lee at the age of 41 years old, which is terrifying to think of. I think it's around the same sort of age as myself and Graham. As a non-COVID lung condition he had, unfortunately, took him this past Saturday. It was a massive shock. Woke up this morning to find this information out, and I'm like, what do you say about someone whose whole life was still ahead of them? I was a big fan of Luke Harper in WWE. I thought he was massively underutilised. I was delighted when he was able to get a chance with another company in AEW. But, you know, it just kind of catches you for a loop. Our thoughts obviously go to his wife and children. May they, hopefully they have some, hopefully they're able to get through it best they can. It's never easy to deal with the loss of someone so young, unfortunately. Later on in this episode, there is a section where I ask about best tributes, which is a little bit of a spoiler for later on in the show, but that was originally recorded 4 hours before this news originally broke. So I hope I do you hope I do a good job here for you, Brody. Rest in peace, Brody. Thank you.
Visionaries Global Media, your number one source for podcasting entertainment.
Good, bad, good, bad, good, bad, good.
All right, this is Good Cop, Bad Cop, episode 123, our last one of the year, Matt. We're recording on Boxing Day, and I don't know if we're supposed to save this till the end. We never talk ahead of time. I don't know if we're supposed to save this until the end, but this is going to be our last episode as a twosome, as it were, because 2021, we're going all out on guests. You know, I've been doing a little bit of booking. I don't know how much I've told you. We got guests all the way up until mid-May. So we're going to be having different guests in for certainly about the next 18 episodes or something like that. And I know there's some people who we promised, and I can't remember who they are right now, so I've got to check those out as well. So, yeah, we're going to be mixing it up for 2021.
Looking forward to it, dude. I had a lot of fun whilst you were on your hiatus talking to some amazing new people and some familiar faces. So it won't hurt having new people on the show, definitely.
Absolutely. And when we had Melissa on as well, I think that only proved that doesn't have to be just a two-person show. It works perfectly well with three people and possibly four people. I think that's the most I've got. I don't think I've booked any trios as far as I know, but we'll have to see. All right, shall we get cracking? Because you said you got a lot to talk about today.
Absolutely.
Good. Bad.
All right then, Matt, take it away. Give us your good cop moment for the last time in 2020.
But my best cop moment, as it was, of the week, Graham. I'm sick of seeing Jey Uso helping Roman Reigns retain the championship. He's done it twice in a week now, and I'm sick of seeing it.
And that's your best cop moment?
It's brilliant. It's brilliant storytelling. I want to see someone kick Roman's ass. And they've done it, they're beautifully building it. So WrestleMania, he will get his ass kicked. Because that's how it should go. Because remember WrestleMania, we all wanted Miz to kick Shane's ass. Well, actually, we wanted Shane to kick Miz's ass technically at the time because he was the face and vice versa. But when it came all the way around, Shane and KO, we wanted KO to kick his ass. And he did. But they built it perfectly for it. And they're building Roman and Jay the same way, where we're going to be sick to the back teeth of them, and we'll be cheering anyone to beat Roman, which we have Brock Lesnar come back and beat him.
I'm still so confused how that was a... How you start off, you were sick of it, but it was a best cop moment. I'm still trying to piece
this
together in my head.
I'm sick of seeing it, but I know it's amazing storytelling in progress here. That's why it's brilliant, because it's doing exactly what it's meant to be doing.
Alright. I am curious about one thing, though, and I heard a few people talk about this. Wasn't that a waste of a match on SmackDown? Couldn't they have put that on a pay-per-view event?
Do we really
need to see it again, so close to the TLC?
Well, what they've done there is they've done that so it's a reset before Royal Rumble now.
It didn't seem like a reset. It seemed like a repeat as you were starting
So now they start the new year resetting for Royal Rumble. So that's now being like, there's your other match. You're not winning sort of thing. On we go to the next one. As to who's going to be, who knows?
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Now, my good cop moment is one I saved from last week because I had something else that I needed to mention, and I said I can always use this moving forward.
Okay.
I want to talk about the BlackRexcellence.com 2020 year-end awards. So a lot of names came up. They had 10 different categories. I'm going to mention a few names that will stand out for you, Matt, particularly for people who listen to MGB as well. Wrestler of the Year, joint second, Trish Adora. Alongside Sasha Banks. I was like, wow, people are recognizing.
That company.
Yeah, absolutely. Tag Team of the Year in fourth place was Eel O'Neil and Jordan Blade. Kings of the District, I was very pleased to see that. The Breakout Star of the Year. I'm going to go to the bottom first. Joint number 10 was Trey Lamar, who I talked about previously as well, as somebody who'd come on my radar. Number one was Calvin Tankman, who also I've mentioned in the recent weeks as well. Still doing really well on MLW. And number four, O'Shea Edwards as well. He's definitely be coming through a lot more, particularly winning titles. Even in a shortened year, he's definitely made good progress, and he's been very active on Twitter as well. Best promo of the year, number two was O'Shea Edwards for that, and I would agree. He's very good on the mic. He can really switch it up. He really gets your attention. The next up of the year, which I think means basically who's the next people who are probably going to shine in 2021. We got Billy Dixon at number three. We have Eel O'Neil at number four. Eric Royal at number six. And Jordan Blade at number 10. So these are all good to see. Show of the year. Number three was the Fight Club Pro Crowning of a Champion, which I've referenced multiple times on podcasts.
Phenomenal.
Yeah. And I'll switch the order because you don't know which order I'm reading these anyway. Match of the year was number two, Trish Adora versus Darius Lockhart. And absolutely, just an absolute phenomenal match. The number one match I want to go check out, though, Lee Moriarty versus Jonathan Gresham at Joey Janela Spring Break 4. So I'd be curious to find that one. Fed of the year, I assume that's federation or group. Number one was that Fight Club Pro. Paradigm Pro, which Mason and I started reviewing on MGB, was two. Impact was three. WWE was five, just out of interest. Move of the year, Trish Adora, the Lariat Tubman. I think that's one of the best names in wrestling. That's absolutely perfect to fit in with her character. And moment of the year, and I can't have sold it enough times, I'm sure, Trish Adora wins the PAWD Championship.
Amazing. So, it really was. Yeah. A moment which will go in history for the right reasons.
Mm-hmm. So cool, looking through this list, and a very shortened event for Indie Calendar this year. It was great to look at some of those characters who we've been following and seeing them starting to rise up those ranks, getting more recognition, and for that reason, it was clearly a good cop moment. That would have worked equally well last week, but I had something else I needed to talk about. All right, I guess I got to get my stopwatch ready, because you already said that you got a lot to say, so I got to keep you a little bit accountable, I guess. Is that right?
Yeah, you can try to.
I will fail and lose. Go on, tell us your speed cop moment. Sorry, speed check good cop moments.
Retribution are finally winning matches. It's good to see, because they want to keep actually build them up for something, then they've got to start making win matches. Big E is finally the Intercontinental Champion again. Great to see. Love it. Alexa Bliss is creepy as hell, and we love her for it. She's doing some amazing work. Tyler Rust, oh my god, that guy is amazing. Alexa, stop it! Chris, turn it off! Thank you. Tyler Russ, oh my god, that guy is amazing. Put him against Ciampa now. Isaiah Swerve Scott looked amazing again. As did Bronson Reed and Leon Ruff. Ripley and Gonzalez, the build for this match is just perfect. Can't wait for it at New Year's Evil. And Thatcher Ciampa in a fight pit. Yes, please.
Okay. Interesting. I figured some of those moments you would talk about, which is why I deliberately left them off mine. I was kind of, I guess, slightly disappointed. I didn't realize SmackDown was recorded ahead of time, and I did see that spoiler, so I did know that Big E was going to win. I kind of alluded to it on a view from the top rope, but yes, it was great to see. Although, as some people said, it would have been even better if the rest of the New Day had been there to celebrate with him, perhaps. You can't have everything, though, can you? So... All right, I just got a couple of short ones this week, Matt. From Impact Wrestling, Deonna Purrazzo, quote, "This year has been my most challenging. To finish 2020 as Wrestler of the Year only validates every trial and tribulation I've faced to date. I've been true to myself and true to my craft, and for that, I'm most proud. Welcome, everyone, to the age of the virtuoso." And I'm certainly, virtuoso, and I'm looking forward to seeing how that develops in 2021. We know the Impact women's roster is just absolutely stacked right now as well. And also, I saw from Impact, Madison Rayne has graduated from college. Quote, "I officially graduated today. The ceremony was virtual, so I graduated in sweatpants. 2020 is so weird, but regardless, I did it, and I did it magna cum laude." Rayne is expected to leave her commentary role to take a full-time job outside the company. It seemed like the perfect way to finish my last Good Cop moments, reflecting on how 2020 has been so weird in the world of education. And yes, those types of ceremonies have become more prevalent. But yeah, good on Madison for doing that. All right, don't forget, if you want to catch the best indie wrestling action as well, don't forget to go and check out powerslam.tv. And if you use code GOODCOPBADCOP, all lowercase, then you can get 30 days free. Good! Bad! All right, we've had a lot of bad moments in 2020. What are your final bad moments for 2020?
My big one is AEW.
Okay.
Now, before anyone turns around and starts shouting and screaming, saying, "Oh, it's a really good product, it's got good people wrestling it," I'm not talking about the program.
I was going to shout WWE Mark at you, but okay, keep going.
Okay. This was brought to my attention thanks to Christian Maracle, otherwise known as Maracle Man. He is a YouTuber. He has got like 100,000 people following him on YouTube. He's one of the highest up. He's one of the highest independent guys. He does stuff like he sends the pay-per-views, and they're really good sin videos usually. They're really, really good fun to watch sometimes. This was yesterday. Breaking news, due to AEW over-abusing the copyright system, they flagged several high-profile YouTubers, he's removed all of his AEW videos until further notice.
Okay.
AEW are copyright claiming anything people put up that is slightly critical on YouTube.
Okay, that's not copyright though. That's nothing to do with copyright.
They're using the copyright system. No, because obviously anything with an image in it at all is being claimed against.
Okay.
If they don't like it, if it's completely say like. Oh, they're the best thing ever. They're not claiming against it. Anyone criticizing it or sinning against it is basically getting a strike put against them or getting their channels taken down. And I don't think that's right. And I'm really... It gets a lot worse. It gets a lot worse if you go on Twitter about it. It's not only that, but they're also having to take down more and more videos in general. It's not just him, it's other YouTubers. We talked about Talk a Table recently about how New Japan was taking down videos.
Mm-hmm.
Well, New Japan, well, Japan, the Japanese culture of taking down videos in general is well known. Not quite as well known with wrestling companies, usually in America.
Mm-hmm.
This is AWR in danger, I feel, at this point, of alienating a very critical fan base.
If they're only taking down people who are negative about them?
I'm guessing you don't watch the Sin videos, Graham, no?
Watch the what videos?
Sins, they're called. Sins. S-I-N-S.
I have no idea what you're talking about, so I'm going to play in the same way.
I'll send you one at some point. Basically, if something doesn't make sense or is a botch, he'll put one sin up. And then throughout matches, throughout pay-per-views, so it's that sort of thing.
Gotcha.
So usually it's like total sins, 136, for example.
Okay.
At WrestleMania 17, which is the best WrestleMania of all time, it ended up in positive numbers because you take sins off if it's good or amazing. Okay. A sin video, they're corporate climbing against them just because it's slight critical thing about this. It may just be like a bad landing from like a drop kick or haha, you missed, clothesline sort of thing. Remember when Jeff Hardy and
I don't know who you're talking about. Yes.
Yeah, he ordered 50 sins for that.
Yeah, it was awful.
Yeah, WWE didn't claim against that though. AEW would have claimed against it for that reason, which I think is extremely petty. And given how toxic the YouTube community can be sometimes, they're in danger, I feel, of alienating a lot of diehard fans if they keep this practice up.
All right, well, normally we respond to each other's moments, and as it was in my unsure moment, I'm just going to mention what I had right now. Why are people bitching about their work being taken down when they're using copyrighted AEW material? If you choose to use copyrighted stuff, then you understand exactly that you're not supposed to do that. And I don't think you have any comeback at all if you're doing that. If you're including commentary from that, if you're including video from that, if you're doing something like that, I don't think you have any grounds at all to do that. That's copyright material. That's protected. Just because you want to use it to make your show better doesn't make it right. So on that side, I'm totally with those people. However, if what you're saying is that they're complaining about people who are just criticizing the company, then that's a very different thing. And that would surely be, in America, that would be protected under the First Amendment right anyway. So they're going to lose those claims, I would assume, anyway. But I've seen a lot of people who are now putting their videos as taking them off from public and putting them on private, unless you actually have the link there so they can. But there are a lot of people who are using material they're not supposed to be using. And I don't have any sympathy for those people, to be honest.
Some do, and for that sort of thing,
a lot.
Yes, but some are using a still image or two, maybe. I think that's under fair usage. And to be fair, you can actually use that if it's being used for critical analysis. I believe you can use some, but I think it's got to be a certain amount. Like we know, Graham, for example, with regards to us using copyrighted music on podcast, you need to one. If it's for critical analysis, no more than 30 seconds, that sort of thing. So there are certain things about it.
That's one of the biggest myths in podcasting. That's not even true. That was something that I heard talked about at the start, and that's not true. Even 5 seconds, you could be in breach of copyright rules for things like that. But a lot of people are convenient to be either dismissive of the rules or just plead ignorance on the rules. But no, you can't play 30 seconds. If we ever start doing Good Cop, Bad Cop again with a K, we will definitely be doing a different intro than what we did last year.
But in any case, it's very, very messy, and they do run the risk of alienating some of their diehard fans if they are claiming against stuff without due reason.
Okay. I'm going to massively disagree with you that WWE doesn't do that, because WWE has definitely been doing that. They're just ahead of the curve. So they've already got rid of a lot of the people that have been using their copyright material. But it's become more prevalent this week, obviously, just because AEW did it this week. Okay. All right, my bad moment, I actually changed. We started a few minutes later than we were going to, and while I was waiting, I happened to look on the internet, and I saw something. I was like, I'm going to have to mention this. I had something that I had originally for the introduction that I was going to talk about, so I've just moved that into this segment because they actually fit together. So last week, we talked about this. Ashley Vox tweeted, "You're my Christmas gift, at Legit Layla." That's Layla Hirsch, if you're not familiar with her, from AEW. A couple of responses. Most of them were very positive. Oh, what an adorable couple. You guys are beautiful. So nice. All that. The two that stuck out to me were, one was disgusting. And the second one was, "Are you banging?" I'm like, oh my gosh. So I talked about this last week, and because I wanted your opinions about it, the connections between, it seemed like the public were more sympathetic to lesbian relationships than homosexual relationships between men. So I was going to mention it at the start as a follow-up issue, but I wanted to talk about that. The reason why it got moved into the main one was, I saw this a few moments ago. I'm not even sure if I should mention the wrestler, because I don't think it's necessarily relevant who the wrestler is, but it's somebody you'd be well familiar with, Matt. Posted a picture over the Christmas holidays, and a couple of the responses are, "You so fine, you deserve a man like me with long hair and a big stick. I swear then you could beat Red Velvet." And
it's in my unsure moments.
So you already know who I'm talking about. And the second one was, "I bet you are one hell of a fuck. Your body is banging." The wrestling person, and I don't know if you... Do we want to mention a wrestler's name then, Matt?
It's up to you, Sergio, but, you know, personally, I think that the wrestler in question handled it incredibly professionally, because absolutely. I'm not sure what I would have done. And the I do know that the person that they are with actually was in the comments and saying, basically, some people got no respect.
Yeah, no matter how many times you ask, they're still going to do. The reason I put it in my bad set, and I can understand why you put it in short, I put it from the perspective of the idiots who are making comments, which is why I linked it in with the previous one as well. I have a feeling this could be, and I don't know if I'm just not actively looking, but certainly more, as I see things like this now, I'm like, oh, we just talked about that the previous week, and now we've been doing it for a couple of weeks. I'm kind of a little bit more susceptible to noticing things like this, but... The idiots who, why are they like, it's a little different on Facebook. For somebody to see your comments, you have to agree to them to be a friend. On Twitter, there's nothing to stop you from following any single person you want and commenting on them. Now, of course, you could make your account private, but that really makes things difficult, particularly if you've got potentially thousands of followers, if you've got to keep accepting each single person one at a time, one at a time, one at a time. It's not a convenient thing to do. Things like that, Matt, I'm not sure. I think this is on Twitter as well. Shouldn't stuff like that be banned? If you're posting comments like that that are not warranted, there's no provocation that's even given the hint that that person wants that comment. To me, that's just a bad comment all around. I think I already mentioned one of the people on the previous one. I already blocked those people. Not that I followed them anyway. And same with these two clowns as well. Use that block function as much as you can. But once again, just bad moments to end the year on again. People not being appropriate on Twitter.
Unfortunately, yes. Block and report, guys. Definitely. Because, yes, people can go and have another account. I get that. But at the end of the day, if you don't take a stand, then, you know, inconvenience on our side, is what I say. Right. My bad cop stuff is my bad cop speed check is kind of more frivolous. Angel Garza's wing clipper, it's just it's so complicated. It's just, I get it meant to hurt and everything, but it's just not immediate enough for me. It needs to be more immediate. Broetry in motion. Michael Cole, no. Just. And actually, I have to apologise because that wasn't Michael Cole, because it was on Raw, wasn't it, as well?
It was on Raw, yes.
So in that case, then, Tom Phillips. No. Just no. And Bad Cop, because they haven't split Shayna Baszler and Nia Jax up yet. I know it's only been a week, but come on. That's the match we want to see now.
I actually was going to put the Broetry in motion as Mono and Good Cop moments, short moments, but I forgot about it. Now, I'm not sure, Matt, though. I don't think the commentators did say that. I only watched the top 10 moments. Okay. When I listened to the clip that I saw, they said poetry in motion, but the clip on the bottom said broetry in motion. And I actually thought about mentioning that as a bad cop moment that they didn't, the two didn't sing. I thought they were going to change to it.
Yeah, he said it, and I listened back to it twice, make sure I heard it right before I put it in the bad cop moments.
All right, fair enough. I got a couple of things to talk about. One of them is Dragon Gate Wrestling. There was a match between Ben Kay and Shun Skywalker I saw this week. There was a clothesline that left Ben Kay unconscious. And there was four more moves after that that just carried on. There was two standing knee moonsaults. There was a moonsault from the top row. Originally, I think there was supposed to be a kick out because the referee only counted two, even though he was totally out. And then he did another top rope moonsault before they finally finished the match. Absolutely disgusting. I have the link to share with you, Matt, if you haven't seen it later. And I'm going to post in the episode notes as well for people to watch. Absolutely terrible. MV Young, I think, had the worst week of anybody. He lost $200 through PayPal because somebody reported him because they claimed that they hadn't sent the package. UPS currently right now is really struggling to get the mail through in time. Also, the electrical room where he lived caught on fire. His roommates and everyone is safe, but they still don't have any power. And then just to make things worse with PayPal, he's now been banned from PayPal. So he can't actually do any merch over the internet anymore. So MV Young did not have a good week, unfortunately. Definitely bad cop.
He could go through Cash App. Or other thing, that thing. Hopefully.
You can go through other ones, and people talked about as well. But the inconvenience of it, and when you're used to using that as your main source, then it's just an unnecessary pain. Just because somebody couldn't have been a little more patient and actually just checked to see, hey, just want to follow up. Did you send? But no, they immediately just went and report. People being over-reporting in some cases as well.
Some people go too far away.
Are you looking for the newest and hottest in the world of pro wrestling? Then check out the amazing action on Powerslam.tv, the biggest indie pro wrestling channel in the world. Get over 6,000 hours of the best events from over 150 of your favorite promotions from 20 different countries around the globe. Brands like Progress Wrestling, Evolve Wrestling, Combat Zone, Defy, PCW Ultra, PWX, Over the Top, Shine, and hundreds of others with fresh content added every day for only $5.99 per month. Get your free trial today at powerslam.tv.
Good. Bad.
All right, this might be the last time that we do a section in a long time, because I think Unsure is probably what's going to get cut, Matt, if we have extra people on the show. It seems like an obvious one if we're called Good Cop, Bad Cop. It can't really cut Bad Cop out, so this might be the last one we do of these for a while. We might do a speed check. I'm thinking that might be one way of keeping it in. What are you unsure of this week?
People on Twitter, and people on Cage Match, for that matter.
Oh, yeah.
On Cage Match. Young Conrad, my co-host on Chopkicks and Near Falls, brought something to my attention. I'm guessing Greg Graham is nodding his head. He knows where I'm going with this.
Before you even said Conrad's name, I knew exactly where this was coming from. Yep.
Okay. People need to... How am I going to put this? I'm not sure where people get off on certain things. Everybody knows... Chris Benoit, what he did back in 2007. Everybody knows it in professional wrestling. If you go to Cage Match, you'll see his rating is currently 9.02, which is a phenomenal rating. You can see how many matches he's had over the years. Okay. I actually had to look up what Selbstmord is, because I didn't know what it actually meant. Turned out it's suicide, which makes sense, I suppose. Some of the comments are ridiculous. People said, I'm not going to name the names, but you know who you are out there if you're listening to this. Chris Benoit is and always will be one of the best fighters in history. His technique, movement, and charisma made him unique. Everyone knows what happened, but he's still the best. I'm like, swallowing fire here. I'm not here to rate what people did outside the business. If I was, he'd get a zero, but I'm not. I'm here to rate him in the ring. Again, I'm struggling here. His last few days were horrible, no denying it, but even the best ever. This rating is based on his ability and not who was the person. I'm sorry. If people are saying that, I get that. I then spin across to someone else. Yoshiko from New Japan, side of things. I'm not sure in New Japan themselves or in another Japanese promotion, because Japan is still not my area of expertise. Current rating is 4.32. I quote, "The thing is, this thing is not a wrestler. if you can call it a woman. She's made too many wrestlers get injured. She's not even a pro wrestler. She can go do sumo if she wants. Wow. Bad wrestler, shoot fighter, after what she did to act Yasukawa. I vomit my lunch on my computer and I got big depression because she's still wrestling. I can't believe this violence cycle still gets booked. What she did was unforgivable. We saw the footage. Act through to work punches and then this deranged individual started attacking her. Really? Some of these is ridiculous. And one person puts here, this is an 8 out of, those are all zeros, by the way, ratings.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. This one's an 8 rating for her. You know, it says a lot about people when they'll praise a murderer in Kid Benoit because of work rate. They'll happily shit on Yoshiko because of one shoot incident. Sure, Axe's career ended due to this, and I'll agree it's not a great outcome. But this girl deserves a second chance. It's not like she's Nia Jax, where it's a set pattern. Those are obviously the thoughts of that person, not necessarily mine. I do agree with certain things that I said there. And I don't know why people are more than happy to praise someone like Chris Benoit for their in-ring ability when he did something so horrific. Whereas someone made one mistake one time and hate for her, like she's literally decided to slaughter an entire population sort of thing. It just makes no sense on that side of things. And that's why I'm not sure what I'm meant to read into this.
I'm, as I say, I use Cage Match quite a lot.
You do, yeah.
I am not sure specifically what they ask for when they're asking for ratings. If they are only asking, as it's a wrestling-based website, if they're only asking for the rating of them as a wrestler, then that might possibly explain the Chris Benoit ratings. One thing that personally annoys me about this, and it would be a bad cop moment as a mathematician, is the way they calculate the averages. There's three different ways you can calculate averages. Most people, when they say an average, they're referring back to the mean, where you add up all the scores together and then divide by how many scores you have. The only problem with that is it gets very offset when you have those rogue values in there. So when you're talking about people putting zero, which is clearly not true, then that seriously unbalances the rest of those scores. They'd be much better with going with the median, which focuses on what the middle number is. So you ignore the top ones, you ignore the bottom ones, and you focus on the middle for what people think. That tends to provide a more accurate representation of what values are. Unfortunately, whenever I suggest this for our data values, I normally get ignored. But yes, it's a lack of understanding of how averages work and what's a better average. But yes, the median would work way better for things like that. And you know some people are spiteful. They're going to put zero even if they know it's not truly zero.
Yeah, unfortunately, that is the case. That's why it's in my shortcut moment, because I don't know exactly what to make of it half the time now. And that's really quite sad.
Yeah. My unsure moment came from something I saw this morning. I guess this actually stemmed from a couple of days ago, but I didn't actually notice it. I don't think I actually watched Dynamite this week. I think I perhaps watched a few highlights. This is from Sean Spears. I bet on myself. I think this is his actual promo in the ring, I believe. I bet on myself. I left New York and the grass isn't always greener. You can change the three letters, but you can't change the glass ceiling. I am more talented than 95% of this roster and any other roster on this planet today. I look better, I work better, and I damn sure talk better, so I don't know why everybody is trying to work me into this, though that I'm not. Sorry, work me into this thought that I am not. Sorry. If you can't find 5 minutes a week for a guy that's got 19 years under his belt and checks every single box across the board on what it requires to be a television star, then yeah, there's a problem. Despite walking into AEW hot as hell, by the way, only to find myself digging out of a hole for 18 months that Tony Khan and his favorite EVP, Cody, pushed me into, and I assume it continued past that, but I think you get the idea of this.
Yeah.
Now, from the AEW roster that's posted on the internet, he has been removed from that roster. His Twitter account has been deactivated as well. Now, the person actually posted this said he's received lots of information from other sources saying that this is actually a work. Couple of things. If it is a work, then that's pretty impressive, actually, that they've gone to the trouble of removing him from the roster and he's actually deactivated his Twitter account. I like that. Nice touch. I'm unsure, though. Everything he said there, I kind of agree with, though.
Mm.
It's... If they're using this as an angle, why have they backed him into that corner just to work this angle in the first place? That doesn't seem like the way that you would book a star. If you're trying to give him that push, just give him the push without knocking him down to build him back up again. It seems very strange to me. There's a lot of things, obviously, we don't know behind the scenes. Don't know. I guess we'll find out. But that's why it's unsure for me at this moment in time.
Fair enough. He's still listed on his Wikipedia as being with the company, but that means nothing, of course.
No, that means less than nothing. Absolutely. All right, what have you got for your speed check on this one, then?
Question time for you, Graham, again.
Fantastic.
Otis, this week, was wearing a singlet that looked very similar to Vader's, which I thought was really nice. I love Vader, and Otis paying tribute to him, if that is the case, was great.
Big fan of Darth myself.
Yes. The question I have for you, Graham, is what's the best tribute you've seen to a wrestler ever?
I love it how you just spring these straight onto me, knowing that I can't do anything like this, whereas you've got a whole bank of knowledge that you can come up with. I have no idea, Matt. I'm unsure as what answer you want me to give. I can't think of any.
Well, you must
like, have... Tributes I like, I mentioned the other week, is I like it when... I don't like it when somebody dies. I like it when somebody has died that all the wrestlers come out onto the stage. Yeah. I think that's a great mark of respect, and I think it's handled very well, and I think that 10 count is a very fitting tribute to those people. So how about that as a generic answer for every person when they die? I think WWE does a good job of dealing with that, and the Twitter quotes that they put up as well. I think they do a really good job of remembering that person.
Graham, that's the answer I was hoping to get.
Whew, well, that's a relief. You could have fed me that, and that would have made it a lot easier, leaving me to sweat here while I'm trying to think of a specific individual case, which is what I thought you were looking for, but glad I could oblige. Continue, sir.
I personally, when you see people do, like, a frog splash for Eddie Guerrero, where people wear certain attire in tribute, or like Sasha does sometimes for Eddie, I like things like that, like Otis did with Vader. But, yeah, I just like it when they take the time to pay tribute to someone when they have passed away. Like when Ultimate Warrior passed away, when Roddy Piper did, Pat Patterson. All of these people deserve, and rightly so, their space to be given, you know? They deserve it, absolutely.
Uh-huh. I'm unsure how you thought that was a minute, but... I don't know how you thought that was going to be 1 minute, but anyway, I'm going to cut down some of my... I've got a couple of things I want to talk about. I'm going to leave one of the other ones. I'm unsure why WWE felt the need to trademark the Collective. I think they're total douchebags for doing that, but it could have easily been a bad cop moment. And something I've been trying to include for a few weeks, but not been able to do. I'm a big fan of Mance Warner, and I saw they had a podcast coming out called Mansplaining, which I think is perfect. I think that's a really clever name. And it's on the network, but you have to pay $9 to join this network. And I was like, perhaps over the holiday I might. I can listen to them all quickly and then I can just cancel. Anyway, I looked. I couldn't see that podcast on the $9 tier. Apparently, it's on a $29 tier. How on earth can... I'm very unsure. How can you justify $29 a month for podcasts? I talked to RJ about this because I knew that he was a member, and I asked if he could find where that mansplaining was. So he said he thinks it's on the $29. Whew! If the network's $10, I don't know how you can justify $29 for a few podcasts. That's what I'm very unsure of. I'm not unsure about will I be paying it, because the answer is no.
I produce some amazing content in my time, Graham. At no point will I charge someone $29 to listen to it.
A month?
A month.
Ridiculous. And there was a tier above that as well. Oh, jeez. I'm told for the extra tier, you can actually talk to the podcasters or something or have Q&As. But I was like, nah, there's no way I'm not paying that.
No.
Good! Bad!
Go listen to This Good Cop Moment, the King of Wrestling podcast, the number one source for independent wrestling. You can listen to him on all major podcast platforms. If you do listen on Apple Podcasts, go give him a 5-star rating. And go follow him on Twitter as well, at KOWP Show. All right, Matt, go ahead. What have you got for your open agenda? This might be the last open agenda as well. I'm not sure if our guests are going to do an open agenda. We've still got to kind of thrash out those last few things before we get into 2021. But go ahead.
Then in that case, sir, I'm going to do something that I've been wanting to do for a long, long time.
Uh-oh.
Something I always wanted to do as part of the Matt Attack, but I never got a chance to do it. Now, okay. This week, of course, the Slammies happened, and it was a bit meh, to be really honest. It is.
I thought it might appear in your good cop section. I kind of thought you might talk about it. I know you said you were going to watch it. Okay.
Yeah. It was a bit meh. So I've come up with something better, the goodies.
Unfortunately, most of the people won't recognise Tim Brooke Taylor and Graham Garden and Bill Oddie, but you're probably too young for that as well, Matt, to be honest.
I've heard of them, that's about it. Right, okay. Right, so these are basically the awards as dictated by the illustrative panel, which is me. Right, okay. So, Podcaster of the Year. I could obviously have chosen myself. I could have chosen any... But I did not. For me, the best podcaster of 2020 goes to Mags.
Mm-hmm.
Well done, sir. Okay, best new podcast of the year. There's a lot to choose from, but the panel were particularly pleased with the SJP Wrestling Pod. Mm-hmm. Well done, sir. Best interview by a podcast of the year. Congratulations go to the MGB Wrestling Podcast for the Grimy Scots.
Ah, okay.
I know the
Christmas Cracker featured the one with Cabana Man Dan, so, okay.
Yeah, but Grimy Scots.
Yes.
I regret not including that one, but I couldn't put that much in one cracker.
Oh, of course. Yeah, no, a cracking interview. Really enjoyed that one, yep.
Okay. Most Improved Podcaster of the Year goes to Mason.
Mm-hmm.
He's been good from day one, but this year he's gone another level. We've seen it with his interview technique, so that's why he wins. Okay, best co-host of a Christmas cracker goes to Jackson. Sorry,
you'll like that.
Okay, best new podcast team joint winners here.
Ooh,
joint winners go to specifically The Void and the Pipe Bomb Podcast.
Oh, yes.
Congratulations.
I actually listened to The Void on Christmas Day. I saw it come up on my YouTube feed that they were going live, so I was like, oh, sure. And they were doing a little quiz. Very entertaining stuff, as always.
Congratulations to Derek, to Micah, to Jiggy, and Jimmy.
Yes.
Okay. The Pride Award. This is not a gimmick, okay? This is for someone who has shown immense bravery and in the face of so many things that have been thrown at him this year. The award goes to Josh Robinson for putting up with so much crap and still flying that flag high. Keep doing, my brother.
The
Special Achievement Award goes to Graham
for putting up with you.
Well, yes. But for the commitment to finding a way of putting me through a 6-hour podcast.
The reason I said uh-oh at the start was you'd mentioned at the end on one of your questions on View from the Top Rope that you would get me on the Boxing Day record. And I noticed we're almost towards the end of the episode and you hadn't mentioned it yet. So I was kind of preparing for it. I was like, come on, bring it on. Okay.
And
a great alternative Christmas cracker as well, with all the bits edited out and just the questions. 4 hours and 54 minutes of questions, I think it was.
And 3/4 way through it. Right, okay. And the first ever entrant into the Good Cop, Bad Cop Wrestling Podcast Hall of Fame goes to Nishguy.
Hey!
Thank you, sir, because without you, we would not be here now.
He's only had one podcast this year, but that shows you how significant a figure he is when he still holds that presence. Yep.
Absolutely. Because if it hadn't for him, you listening to Nishguy and you mentioning Mason, we would not be here now. So it all comes back to Nishguy indirectly. Thank you, Ryan. Thank you.
Can I add in one more thing about that? As we were doing the booking for our shows, I did ask Ryan if he would appear, obviously, because we did an episode when you were out at your gaming conference, but we didn't do a traditional good cop, bad cop. So I knew he was one person we wanted in. I have booked him on my birthday as a present just for myself. That's how much I respect Ryan. Who would I want to pick to talk to about wrestling on my birthday? No question. Nishikai was number one choice for that straight away.
Absolutely. Congratulations to everybody who won awards. You're not getting a trophy, don't worry.
I meant to ask, is this the first annual?
Yeah.
Okay. Very different from the Five Nerds Go Awards. I don't know if you saw those over the holidays.
I did, and even though we technically aren't PG anymore, I won't repeat any of them on the air.
I don't think you could mention Ryan's award. I don't know if you saw the one he won.
I did. I'm not repeating it.
Shall we move on to the Devil's Advocate?
Let's do so.
Before we get into trouble.
Again.
Good! Bad!
Alright, for the last time in 2020, the Devil's Advocate round. The best way to build the Kenny Omega angle on Impact was by this week putting on only highlights.
Absolutely. If you only put on highlights, that's how you best build any kind of wrestling promotional piece. I haven't watched Impact recently because I won't watch Impact with Jordan Grace, but I do know the best way of building an angle, Graham, so I can keep going. It's fine. And Kenny Omega, highlights of him is perfect because no one knows who he is.
I'm got a little stumbling over your words there. In the
I am six gin and tonics deep, Graham.
It was really strange because I was watching wrestling for appearing on View from the Top Rope, and yeah, I looked and I was like, you're not having anything? I was like, wow, you had all that momentum last week, and then suddenly. Now, I'm not sure though, Impact often records like a few months worth of episodes at once, so it might just be they just couldn't fit that in. You can't just bring Kenny in and suddenly, if they've already got the stories. So I'm not sure if that was a factor or not, but it did seem very strange when you've got all this excitement about their pay-per-view in early January, and then you don't do anything this week at all. But hey.
Okay, Graham. Do you want number one, number two?
Whew. Well, I'm going to stick with my normal formula. I'm going to go with number one, please.
Okay. Now, guys, bearing in mind, we recorded this on Boxing Day, so it's coming out on 27th. So it's in the Christmas period still, so this is a...
Boxing Day is the day after Christmas Day for people that don't celebrate it, as in Americans.
This is the perfect question for the time of year, Graham, okay? So, your Devil's Advocate, Graham, is time to show my true colours. Matt, I'm a liar. Die Hard is not a Christmas movie.
Well, I want to remind you, of course, that the Devil's Advocate is about something that's wrestling. So, once again, you didn't follow the rules perfectly. Absolutely, it's not. How can you claim it's a Christmas movie? The only thing that it has in it that would be Christmas-related is it's set at Christmas time. They have some music in the background, but it's not a Christmas theme. There's no element in that. When has Machine Guns been associated with Christmas, for crying out loud?
I could go on about a few video games, Graham, and be bored.
It is a Christmas movie.
It is. That's why it's Devil's Advocate, because I wanted to see you try and defend it.
It wasn't wrestling related, but you never follow the rules for that.
Christmas.
I did see a film yesterday, which was one of the worst. I've actually only seen one Christmas film this year, Matt. And I rented it from Redbox, which I don't know if you get those in England. But
I know of it, yeah.
Okay, so I picked up one called Fat Man. It's Mel Gibson, and it was the most ridiculous film I've ever seen. It was basically a Christmas film, but it had Die Hard elements in it, and I think I gave it 4 out of 10, and I think I was being way too generous. But they were definitely trying to pick up elements from Die Hard, and they just can't. You can't improve upon that film. I don't know why they would even try and pick elements from it, to be honest, but hey.
Someone's got to, unfortunately. Right, then, we'll see you next year, guys. From myself and Graham, stay safe, wear a mask. We're out of here.
Boom.
The music was Happy Happy Game Show by Kevin MacLeod at Incompetech. www.thewordsofwrestling.com. Licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0. https://creativecommons.org/licenses/by/3.0/.
All right, perhaps you were saving it for this last segment then when we talk about podcasts. Were you going to talk about The View from the Top Rope, or did you want to talk about MGB at all? Or?
I'm not going to talk about The View from the Top Rope, no.
Okay, fair enough.
Haven't heard it yet.
Yeah, that's what I just figured.
Well, I have, Graham. What I do is I listen to the news, listen to my answer to my questions, and then turn it off.
Your answers are normally at the end.
Exactly.
So that will be the whole episode.
Pretty much.
Oh, okay.
Right. Right. But what I will do is, before jumping out, I'm going to give you my other Devil's Advocate I had planned.
Oh, sure. And I'll do mine as well.
Well, do yours first, because mine will make you laugh.
All right. I'm sick of WWE constantly removing people's first names, and I think that Riddle should get a first name too. To promote the WWE in a big market such as London, it should be Jimmy.
Very good. Very good.
It was way too obscure for most people to understand. Jimmy Riddle is English slang for going to pee, going to urinate.
Okay. Your other Devil's Advocate, Graham, was 2020.
No. Oh gosh. That was that. Oh my gosh. Yeah. I might have had to tap out on that one. I think I would have done the same thing. That's not wrestling related, and then I would have tried to go. That would be a tough one.
Right. Right. In terms of podcasts, I am halfway through MGB. And it was another great episode. So what I'm going to do is do what I've got so far, okay?
Okay, that sounds good.
What I will say is people go listen to it, because as always, it's a fantastic listen. Right, you've been named mean to Mason by tweeting out his mistake, Graham, as well. Very mean, but it was very funny, because he still laughed about it. That's fine.
Well, he wants to do the same. he can't wait to get his Twitter account. I originally said 13. That's less than a month away now. I think that age is going to be raised. I don't think he's having his Twitter account.
He's probably 14, Graham, on Twitter. So.
Oh, I thought it was 13.
14.
Oh, well, that's good then.
Yeah. You guys are talking about it being an all-female card, and the only people who weren't female was the men cleaning the ring.
Yeah.
I liked that. Because it's always been regarded for such a long time as a woman's job to do cleaning. I like that the dynamic was reversed. I don't know if it's intentionally done that way, but I certainly saw the symbolism there. I like that.
Uh-huh. We should have said at the start, this was the MGB review of Synergy Pro Wrestling's event, the Women's Garden State Invitational. I don't think we mentioned that at the start.
Well, Faye Jackson and Tara Calloway did a phenomenal job putting this card together, and basically left it so many times due to people dropping out and coming in. Well done, ladies. Fantastic. Points for Mayday doing the Rick Rude reference, by the way. That was very
really clever. That was great. As soon as I saw that, I was like, oh, good. I'll mention that. And then we had a nice little chat about wrestling, because I realized that Mason probably didn't realize that side of it. He's only used to it being Monday Night Raw, and it's live, and SmackDown live, and all. He's not really used to that exception. He mentioned the one exception, of course. But, yeah, he didn't realize that used to be a thing. But, yeah, giving out the results, he was genuinely amazed by that, which is a great story. Really clever by WCW for doing that.
And Mayday, the only person to ever turn down an interview on a Matter Chat, by the way.
Ooh. I don't think he does podcasts.
No.
I don't think I've ever heard him on a podcast. Really interesting guy. Love when I get the chance to sit next to him and just talk about wrestling.
That's why I wanted to listen
brain
to him.
And really nice guy. But I don't think he does podcasts.
Yeah, and that's totally cool. I wasn't offended by anything. I wanted to give him a chance. I wanted to so badly. I'm never going to get that chance. I'm just going to have to come to an indie event at some point in the future and sit next to him as well, aren't I? And the other thing I've got, because I haven't listened to the whole episode yet, is Mason, sit still.
I told him that.
Oh, Lord. Graham, why have you got leather chairs? Seriously.
It's just, it's the computer chair. It's the he. I don't know why he chooses to sit on that, but yeah.
It was the whole time I thought, how did he let one go? But then I realized, no, it's him sitting on another chair.
Oh, I didn't realize it was that bad. Like, I've told him, like, sometimes
it was before we started
recording, I'm like, dude, you gotta sit still. And relatively, he has. So, but yeah, it's often worse before we start because he's kind of like adjusting and okay. All right, we'll need to figure that out.
But it, as Mason says, pretty funny, as Mason says.
He says what?
Pretty funny. He says funny like that.
Oh, he does?
I haven't got a fine enough voice to do his accent.
Sure.
My accents are fantastic, as you know from Talking Table.
Of course.
I need to apologise for last week, by the way. Anyone who didn't do it. I didn't so much lose control of the show. I never had any damn control to begin with. I had on three amazing British podcasters, all of whom decided, well, apart from Innocent Conrad, decided to just talk about Goldberg's manhood for an hour and a half, more or less.
It's interesting. I've listened to a few podcasts recently, and I think something came up similar when you appeared on View from the Top Rope, because I actually listened back to it, so I think that was one. And I've been listening to, and I forget, Taylor Wilde, I've been listening to her new podcast, and there was a similar reference in one of those. I was like, whoa, suddenly like three episodes within a week, I suddenly heard similar references. They didn't choose the same wrestler, but they had similar references. I was like, huh, okay.
I don't remember talking about anything like that on View from the Top Rope.
I don't think it was you. I think Chad made some reference, and it got quickly washed over, and it got ignored.
Well, I missed it, then, if that's the case. What about you, Graham? What have you listened to this week? You've had a lot of time.
I've listened to a lot of that Taylor Wilde podcast. I don't remember her from Impact. I think she said she retired at, like, age 24, so okay. She retired really early. But she's coming back at age 34. Wow. So she's got a lot of connections within her wrestling career. She's had some big names on there, like Natalia. I was about to say Mia Yim. That's not who I'm thinking of at all. Gail Kim, sorry.
Gail Kim.
Got my last names mixed up there. Some really good names. Really interesting podcast. I think I'm on about episode 20 of 27. So I've been listening to a lot of those. I'm going to be honest this week, I've been watching a lot of films. I've not been listening to quite as many podcasts, but I've been watching a lot of TV and films.
So you're more than happy watching a 2.5-hour film again, but not happy watching a 90-minute thing on your Hulu.
It was way better. Oh, well, actually, let me scroll up then. So I said...
Let's finish. Let's get this sorted now before the year is out. Okay? Because you and me have had a lot of discussions about this, because you have watched Doctor No how many times now?
You got to remember that that film is really old, so I've probably seen Dr. No now probably 3-4 times, I guess. I haven't seen it in at least 10 years.
But you watch all of these films, all these old films you've seen more than once, you'd rather watch that than brand new content, which takes half the time.
But it's way better. It's significantly better. This is film quality production. Raw does not have that level at all.
Okay, with that thing in mind... Which film is better, Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, or Russia with Love?
You're going to love this answer. I've never seen Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, so I can't comment. I have a few of those classic films that I've never seen before, and I always get that type of reaction from my wife as well. It's like,
how
have you never seen that film?
I'm like, how can never you say that as a 62-year-old man?
I have never seen it. I've never seen Mary Poppins either. I've seen clips, but I've never seen the whole film. The other ones that fell into that list are The Lion King as well. I've never seen that. That one shocked my wife. And The Sound of Music, but I did actually watch The Sound of Music in the last year to cross that one off the list at least. Matt's totally confused now. He can't believe this.
I say this to someone who, as a gay man, has never seen Grease. I've never seen The Bodyguard. I've never seen Ghost. I've never seen Dirty Dancing.
Grease and Dirty Dancing, those would surprise me. I would have guessed that you would have seen those.
I've never seen Four Weddings and a Funeral.
Uh-huh.
I have seen Notting Hill. I love Notting Hill, in fact. Mm-hmm. But they're like, how can you be a gay man and whatnot? Watch out. Like, I watch professional wrestling and football. Right. Shall we head into the new year then, Graham?
Yes, let's do that. We've talked for way too long. We've got some good material for the YouTube channel now, though.
Absolutely. Hey, YouTube. We're out of here.
Boom.